Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design, and I'm really glad you have. This is Veronica Entwistle. I've got lots to talk about tonight. I was just looking up the word Dharma. How many of you know what Dharma means? Well, you're doing better than Google because it says that there's no really specific meaning for it. But when I cruise through, and I've done this before, I cruised through a number of the different interpretations of what that word means. And what it means is, to me, okay, is your purpose. But let's put it differently. We'll say that there's a cosmic order in the universe. And in that cosmic order, there's a flow and there's not so much dissonance and so on. And it means that there's like a nucleus or there's like a, it's like a nucleus. I know that's not quite the right word. But like there's a center to it all, which has a focus for a purpose. So it needs to, move and unfold and become. And the way I understand Dharma in you and Dharma in me is that each of us is born with some kind of purpose. And that purpose, when we pull away all the leftover hoo-ha of our reactions and our processes of life and our loves and our losses and our broken dreams and our new dreams and all of that stuff with all the leftover thoughts and feelings and reactions that might even have come from other lives, other people, other influences, and so on and so forth. It's really a busy, busy world out there. And our Dharma is when we can really get inside into that kind of purifying place of our own truth into the world. What is your contribution on the planet? And very often, you know, it's you'll go through some kind of horrible thing. I often go back to being widowed or cracking up, various things like that that have happened in my many years ago. But through that kind of drama, Dharma drama, right? Through that kind of drama, what happened was I came closer and closer, not fully always in the amazing harmony of my Dharma, but closer and closer to at least snippets of what I really was as opposed to what I thought I ought to be. And instead of going forward in the world trying to suit the social demands and so on, I touched a deeper and deeper place in myself that really helped me to know who and what I was. And like many of us, you know, we get these glimpses, and very often those glimpses come through drama, don't they? And that's the reason why, and this is for an invitation to a lot of you out there, that's the reason why I set up a little website called dharmaqueen.net. And the reason for that is because, you know, they'll say, what are you, a drama queen? Yeah, I'm a Dharma queen, meaning I go through my dramas, and in that drama, because I'm intentional and because I'm really learning to be more and more conscious, I cull from that the more and more of the essence of my being. So dharmaqueen.net is just a little site. So far, it has hardly anything on it. It's not fancy-dancy or anything. But if you write a little blurb, probably a page maximum, of something that you've been through and what you touched in yourself as a result, or what has come out of some drama or some huge loss or some huge win or some huge gain or some sudden unexpected change, something like that in your life, how did it help you touch your own Dharma? I love this subject and belong to a couple of other groups where we discuss things like this. But as you know, I am very interested in the process of aging, partly because I'm doing it, but partly because I know that each one of you is just an amazing being. And the truth of our potential is barely, the surface is barely scratched because we're so enshrouded by limitations, socially constructed limitations, all kinds of things that have convinced us that this is how we're supposed to be, this is what success is, this is what failure is, this is how I have to look in order to, as somebody said here in LA, everybody has to be camera ready, right? A lot of that can keep us from our Dharma because our emphasis, our focus is external like that. So when I think about aging, I think about a lot of seniors who are being warehoused, put into these different places and maybe drugged up a lot so they're not suffering, supposedly, in quotes. And I often fascinatedly look at some of them and I go, you know, that's a veritable wisdom bank out there. Each of those beings has been through a tremendous amount. Each one has had gains and losses and gains and losses. Each one has bits and pieces of their story that could illuminate your life and my life. But many of them will never even speak it. You know that. So one of the things I'm fascinated about is in this society that really adores youth, woohoo! And just look at some of the crap that's on TV and on YouTube that's really gaining a lot of attention. It isn't exactly the wisest stuff. That is not our wisdom bank right now. And I just sort of think, wow, if we could really, really cultivate from one another some of the perspectives and the directions of what's gone on inside of our lives. I don't mean whining and complaining, because we do some of that too. We all have to do that. But I mean bringing up the directions of what we've gained in it. I think it really helps one another, because instead of focusing on how we look or the socially constructed reality, we're focusing on what the game of life is really all about. It's all about being true to yourself, coming into the truth of who you are. What is it you were born to contribute to the mass culture of the reality that we all live in as humanity? And golly, that's not an easy question to answer. So conscious aging was the subject in my last Paradigm Shifters. I hope some of you have caught that show, or some of you will catch the podcast, because Ron Pevney has really done a lot of work to gather up various groups on conscious aging, and they've got an alliance going, and there's a whole ripple of waking up our society in such a way as we will have respect for the intricacies of the journeys of so many older people, and respect for the rising respect for the wisdom that is represented by these older people. And, you know, I think it's a really fascinating subject. So there, we're going to talk about that. And that really is about bringing up a lot of their dharma. Now, a lot of older people have aches and pains. So do younger people, right? There's a lot of people in our society that have aches and pains and suffer. So we get some pharmaceuticals and we numb this and we numb that and all that. And I know a lot of you don't do that so much anymore. But a lot of people still do that. They still believe that's the only way out of it. So what I'd like to do, probably for the next three of these shows, and you're welcome to call in and so on, but I would like to do some teachings on how to maybe even access your dharma by going into those aches and pains. I don't know. I don't know if we can really do that, but I do know that we can relinquish the pain's hold on us, and quite often our need for pharmaceuticals. And I don't think we have to be really, really uncomfortable all the time as we get older. Some people do, and that's very sad. But I don't think it's an assumed thing that as you get older, you just have aches and pains and you hobble here and you hobble there. I think we can probably get beyond a lot of that if, see, what I do know for a fact, I know this from my many, many clients, I know this from myself and for people close to me, that when you can really go into your body and find out what emotions you've locked into the body, which is a filing cabinet, it's got all kinds of file folders in it. You take one pain and you put it into your liver. Maybe it's anger pain, or you're detoxifying a bunch of confusing feelings and you just don't bring them up and talk about them. You stuff them into the liver. So then the liver becomes disrupted, and on it goes. So what we're going to first of all do our sacred geometric structures, but I'm going to go through some aches and pains, if you will, some health issues of some of the people that I've talked to recently. And of course, if you want to, you'll be able to call in and speak about your aches and pains or your sicknesses or your fragilities and be up to date. Otherwise, I've got a little list here and you might even be on it. Who knows? And one of the things I love to do, one of the things I love more than anything, is to do subtle energy work, because it is, if you can, it's free, right? free energy, guys. And you can bring it through and you can have it run through your own body. You can teach children to do it. And you can actually move a lot of these old emotions, which are all stuck in your bodies, and really release yourself. And we can look better and our faces will be brighter and our hearts will be fuller. I had a lot of chaos recently in my life, and you know, I do a lot of work with people's emotions and so on. And somewhere along the way, I caught some energy, and I just was feeling, I hadn't consciously put it in those terms, but anyway, I was feeling, oh, lower and weaker. And I'm not usually weak, I'm the kind of person that likes to bound around to keep my energy up. Anyway, so I went off, a friend of mine knows an acupuncturist, so I went off to him and he did his pulse-taking doodah, that little bit of magic that they do at the beginning. And he explained to me very carefully that on the right side of my body, up around the lung, in the lungs area, going from the channel from the lung that goes into the right side of my heart, that I had a whole bunch of dense frequencies that were just blocking everything. And he didn't say it, but I know that I was empathizing with something. And I'm better at clearing energy than that, but I had had like a backlog of company and just a whole lot of interactions with a lot of different people. And it was really intriguing for me to, because this is something I teach, but for him to say that, to show me how it was working in my body, for him to put the little needles in me, one of which hurt, ding! But and then to feel that energy just course through my body, and I felt like a little, oh, like a little butterfly or a little fairy by the end of it all. And it was just a lovely, lovely experience. And guess what? My energy took about 2 days for the energies all to clear, because it had gathered up a whole bunch of, it's kind of like having those dust fluffs around under your couch or under your bed, right? There were a lot of dust fluffs in my body, mind. And then everything was just great after that. I love those experiences. And those Chinese people or Asian people have known this for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Now they're getting into pharmaceuticals and they're losing track of that. And they're even making it against the law to do Qigong for terminal illnesses, which is what they used to do. Because we've somehow sold them our bill of goods. But in any case, we're now taking on a whole lot of their stuff. So golly gee, let's all learn about energy. And when we go into the sacred geometric structures, what happens is that energy that we radiate out, the coherent fields that we do, because we're all meditating in unison, that sends some wonderful frequencies out all around all of us who are connected. So if you look at us as a great big backyard or a great big room full of people, that just pulses with possibility, because you and I are shifting the fields and frequencies in such a way as we're lifting one another, right? So let's get to work in our sacred geometrics. Let's get to work. Take a couple of deep breaths. Now above your head, about 2 miles, see there a golden ball. And below your spine, another golden ball. Maybe it's 40 feet. You don't have to measure, but it's just the one above seems to have a lot higher range than the one below. And now from the upper golden ball down through the spine into the lower golden ball, drop a filament of gold light. And from the upper golden ball to about waist height, drop a three-sided gold pyramid and stretch it out so you can play underneath it. And then upside down with its point going into the lower golden ball, another golden pyramid. And push the two together. And there you have a great big diamond. And inside the diamond now create a beautiful crystal ball. Good. And inside of that crystal ball, create a star tetrahedron, a three-dimensional Star of David. Okay. And that three-dimensional Star of David, I mean, that is just so beautiful. And if you think about it, that's how your light body is all around you. Look at your physical and see this three-dimensional Star of David radiating out from your body, your physical body. And now whilst you're there and seeing that, I want you to spin and spin and spin and spin and spin in it. and take a look in front of you, there's a magical screen. And the first screen, you're going to create movies on it. The first screen is you becoming what it is you want to become. What do you want to be when you grow up? Most of us don't really want to grow up all that much, I don't think. I don't anyway. So, because I feel like we're growing through fields and fields and fields of possibility. Sometimes I think I'll be clear and young and be ready to pass finally, you know, not there yet. That's what I mean by being young enough, right? We're not saddled with old fears and beliefs and leftover hoo-ha from past experiences. Now, I want you to see up on your first screen how you want to become. Well, I think I've just told you how I want to become. Plus, I want to be multidimensional, consciously multidimensional. So I see myself creating that, creating that, and creating that. What do you see yourself creating? And then when you feel like you're getting there in your images, move it, wrap it in the light, and move it over to the left. And now we're going to create another movie. And this movie is going to be a movie of you creating something you really want. It might be an amazing business, an entertainment business, a big kind of a wonderful entertainment business with musicians and food and all kinds of stuff in this great place. Or it might be a book or a movie. It might be a house, a home and family. It might be a world travel. It might be health. Just see all the resources, the pieces, the finances, the people, ideas, the plans, everything just flows to you, flows and flows. And then when you get there, you say, wowee, I did it, I did it, I did it. And you just see it radiating. And now let's keep going with our movie as we see all the pieces to continue the progress of your project so that it comes to its natural denouement, its natural completion. And all the resources come, the money, the people, the time, the interest, everything. And everything has its natural completion. So you see it going right to the end. Yay, you! Wrap it in light, move it over to the side. Now the third one is our sacred galactic healing center. Now you have layer after layer after layer of consciousness around you between you and source, or as a part of source. You could look at it that way. And I want you to reach up with your mind and call in these amazing healing beings, bring them into the Galactic Healing Center. Choose a group of them, ones that are really super duper special at healing, and then you put a table there. They surround the table and you hop on. And I want you to lie there and ask them for what it is you want to heal yourself. And if you don't know, if you have no idea what you need to do next, ask them to tell you, because they'll tell you. Good. All right. I'm getting all kinds of information for myself. What are you getting? Yeah. Now, this is something, I think this must be part of the class, because they're showing me why in my body, they're saying it's the pulsing in my stomach area. That's the file folder for personal power, you know, the personal power of your soul's journey or my soul's journey is kind of reflected there more than anything. But also that's the area in which we bond with other people in all kinds of ways. So we might take on their projection of what our personal power should be. We might hold ourselves back if we've been recently, widowed or grief-struck or whatever. It's like we have a hole in that part of the body. So that's interesting. I'm lying there and asking for blah, blah, blah. And they're saying, look at your stomach. Your stomach is the area that's blocking some of what you'd like to manifest. So I know that that's a part of this lesson. So let's take a look at you. What are you? Ask them to show you where you're blocking whatever it is you want to work on. Oh, good. You're getting a lot of information. Now let's wrap that in light. Say thank you for that. Move it over to the side. And then we're going to bring in, and we'll work on that after, okay? Now we're going to bring in a fresh healing table. And our healing team replicate themselves because they're really magical. They might bring in a few other beings as well. And we have a person coming in who's a man. I don't think I know this person at all. He's a man and he's very, very anxious. his life has gone through so many changes. And as he gets older, oh, I see why he came in. He is afraid of aging. He has things he wants to do and places he wants to go. But he shows us that he's kind of shaking and he does not want to, and he's young to be aging. You know, he's like in his 70s. He does not want to relinquish his life or his hold on his projects and just get old. He's just afraid of that. And apparently the Buddha was afraid of that too, which really started Buddhism. That, didn't he? So we're asking them, we're saying, okay, there we go. Okay, so we're asking him to lie down and get calm. And they're working with him. And there's something, it's really funny because, what's his name? James O'Connor, I think it is, who I interviewed very recently on, I can't remember what his book, I keep seeing Rising in Love with Batchelder, but it's James Connor, who was an amazing meditator. He was a wonderful teacher of meditation. And he was talking about how you and I was asking about karma or how he interpreted karma. We all have different interpretations, right? And he said that what he had been taught is that we have seeds in us, and some of those seeds are for pleasure, and some of those seeds are leftover, you know, how we understand karma, the things that had to be done, right? And in order to rebalance something that was left incomplete. But I also had referred to him that, what's her name, Christine Northrup had said to somebody, don't tell yourself you're getting older, for heaven's sakes. Tell yourself you're getting younger. And I thought that was really intriguing because you can apparently stay a lot younger and your system can stay a lot younger. And this fellow, this James Connor, was saying, yeah, because these seeds that we have in us, right, you can launch and activate those seeds of karma. So all of a sudden you meet somebody and you think it's a soulmate because you really know them, and all of a sudden it's a knockdown drag out and everybody's kind of seeming to lose and there's vengeance and all that. That's where you've activated a seed of something that's incomplete. And the best way to do that one is to know it, to recognize it, know that it's so relentless that I see this is something left over. And if both of you can deactivate your reactions and just be present and acknowledge it, it can be not only diminished, it can disappear. You can disappear it, right? So the thing is about this telling yourself that you're younger, he said, well, that makes incredible sense because everything he was taught by great lamas and great teachers through many, many years of study is that you can consciously activate the seeds of becoming younger, for example. So that to me was just a nice way of putting how many times you and I petition or we do affirmations or we do positive thinking or we do, you know, visualizations and so on. It's just another way of putting some power in behind that activity. So talking about aging, we've got this wonderful man, and he is a wonderful man. He's got a lot of earnestness in what it is he wants to do for the world and in the world, but he's shaky in his little body because he's older and he has not been eating properly. How can I tell you to straighten out your diet, mister? But in any case, he's lying on the table, and the beings are working with him, and they're working with him. You might even feel this at home. They have their hands on his head. I'm asking if they can put the energies around your head. Yeah. And my head, in order to activate those parts of the brain that are really lazy or that are diminishing their energy flows. Yeah. And you know something that's really interesting is energy can literally bypass the physical. So you can activate some of your capabilities, reactivate some of your capabilities by getting that energy going. So here we go. They've got their hands on his head, and the energy is pulsing from his head right into the ganglia at the base of the spine. And now they're working with his heart. I don't know if you can feel it. I can. It's just buzzing like mad. And they're loving him. See, that's the other thing. It's really helpful for us is to love ourselves and to be loved and to really be appreciated, you know. There we go. So this fella really needs that. His whole body's way calmer. Can you tell? He's a lovely, lovely being. And they're saying there's no reason why you can't carry on for a while yet. That's it. And he can create, just like you can, he can create these sacred structures or some form of meditation, but he can create the sacred structures and go into the Galactic Healing Center and call in the healing team and lie on the table himself too. Yeah, and he's really peaceful right now. So we'll wrap all that in light and move it over to the side. And now, who are we going to bring in? Let's see who we can bring in. All right, I have a woman here. I've often brought her in, and she's saying that she has a terrible pain, and that and somebody told her, another healer told her, that she has some kind of infection or something terrible happening with her whole nervous system. Okay, so we're asking if she would lie on the table, and we're getting her team to come in and work with that. Now, the nervous system is a whole system. Right? You know that. So there's a flow here, isn't there? And it can go round and round. And they are coming in. And she's got two things that she wanted to ask. They're coming in and doing a lot of, similar to what they were doing with our older gentleman, they're doing a lot of healing work to continue the flow of these nervous, this nervous system. There we go. So that there's not a numbness. But you see, your nervous system, like other parts of your body, hurts because there's an uneven kind of series of congestions. Certain things are blocked and the flow is blocked. That's right. There we go. So what she was saying is, do you think that I can get unblocked enough to really want to stay here on the planet? And I can't answer that question for people. I can answer it by my preference, sure. I think you can do that, but that isn't my business to do that. That's up to her, right? Because, there we go. There we go. She's getting a lot calmer. I hope that she'll phone in or call me later or tomorrow. There we go. And let me know. There we go. And you'll notice when you feel someone whose nervous system is like that. Now, this fellow who was older, his nervous system was really jangly as well, wasn't it? Okay. And a lot of things go wrong in your body when your nervous system is bad. There we go. There we go. And now they're working with her brain as well. Mm-hmm. And regarding, will I have the courage to want to stay on the planet? And they're very, very compassionate. But there's a journey of healing that goes on. We talked about Dharma and Drama. One of the leaders of the healing team is saying, with such compassion, he's saying, you chose a complex journey in this lifetime. And you'll leave when you want to, but the reality is you're gaining a tremendous amount. You still have some seeds. He's using the same term we did. You still have some seeds to bloom, seeds of possibility left in you. But the choice of staying or leaving, of course, is hers. To live in chronic pain or incredible pain is difficult enough, isn't it? But I feel like she's got a lot of, they're showing seeds is what they're showing. Let's wrap that in light, move it over to the side. And let's do our political one now. And then after the end of our structure, we're going to go through these people, or we're going to get you to call in if you will, and if you don't, I'm going to go through these people that have all kinds of aches and pains. And we're going to see if we can teach how to move that pain along so you can age with grace. Hopefully with humor, And you know, if you lose some of your function, there's still other things you can do because you have your wisdom, you know? So let's bring in our political one. I was listening to NPR tonight, you know, and they've some of the people that have been put away in jails for drug problems and so on, you know, are being let out. And they were interviewing somebody who was let out for after 22 years of having been caught with crack. And all of a sudden, he's being let out. So I realize that some of this is great and some of it isn't. Some of them are going to feel panic-stricken and some are not. And there are some people who are waiting for their sentence to be commuted too, but it's not retroactive for some people for some reason. So there's a huge amount of possibility here. There's a certain kind of evolution where they're letting some of the people out of prisons of all kinds out because they were wrongfully kept in there. So I guess what we're going to put on the table is the consciousness raising of what justice means amongst humans. Why don't we do that? So let's put our whole species on the table, all right? And we're going to call in a multi-layered team of healing beings of tremendous, tremendous healing energy and have them surround all of humanity's obsession with justice and vengeance and revenge and so on. Revenge is not justice, is it? And it needs to be an unhook from the big drama that's going on. But we need to evolve as a species in order to get to that. So let's put that on the table, that whole joyful learning to love all of life, learning to love one another, and see yourself wrapping this group of beings on the table and see yourself just sharing tremendous light. And let's call in from the great central sun. I love this color, which is a pink, salmony, radiant color with some gold in it and so on. And let's call that down from the great central sun and have it come in through the top of your head and swirl round and round, clearing out your brain and some of the thoughts and feelings, the social conventions that keep us limited, whirling round and round the neck. That's consciousness of self, round and round our heart. And now move it back up to the shoulders and down the arms, out your hands. Okay. And then I want you to take those hands, which are radiant of this amazing light, and pat all the beings. I want you to just flood, along with the healing teams, which are layered and layered. Let's just flood humanity with this incredible love, and the love will help prompt the evolution of their consciousness. There we go. Their consciousness. Wonderful. Wonderful. And just see, you can just feel everyone on that table pulsing and loving and pulsing and loving. And those people that have been in jail, rightfully or wrongfully, but wrongfully maintained in the jail, what I'm trying to say is restrained in jails for too long. It's all over America. It's a big deal, apparently. And just feel the release of them being able to be let out. And let's also feel the healing that they're going to need in order to have a life that is an expanding life and not a paranoid life, a frightened life, a bitter life, you know. Let's just fill everyone with love. That's right. And we see the justice system all over the world being influenced by evolution. Good. And you know what's funny is I keep seeing amongst our healing team, I see beings from our ancestral links, beings way back that are rejoicing and wanting to do that as well. You know, the astrologically, there's some really crazy stuff going on. We'll talk about it when we finish our meditation here. So now let's wrap our huge, huge table in light, move it over to the side. And now I want you to do the same kind of healing thing. We're going to pat the whole world with this kind of healing light. Are you ready? Just draw it in again from the top of your head. Fill your body. Just flush your body with this amazing healing light. Have it go down your shoulders, your arms, your hands, your fingers till they tingle. And now I want you hugely to pat all the parts of the world that have sickness, poverty, war, deception, corruption. Oh my goodness. All those different things and the way the animals have been betrayed. And we, the keepers of the land, have hurt their homes and so on. I don't need to go into huge details, but some of it's pretty sad, isn't it? It's tragic. So I see ourselves with these amazing flows of energy just padding all the parts of the world. And as the energies flow round and round and round the world, they come right back up into your hands. They flow through your arms, into your heart, back up through your neck, consciousness of self, and shoot right up through your head and way out into the great central sun. And now you turn around and close off the galactic healing center. Thank the guides and angels for being there. And jump into your star tetrahedron. And spin and spin and spin and spin. Can you spin and spin and spin? Good. I want you to spin and spin and spin. Good. And now, call in, if you will. Do we have any callers tonight, or is it all going to be up to me? All right. We're going to go into some aches and pains, okay? When I was first writing this up today, I noticed that I had a really sore ball of the right foot. And I went, oh, and the guides were talking to me. I said, okay, that's a great place to start. So here's an example. What is the right leg? The right leg is how you go forward into the world, how you reach out with your action into the world. It's the more masculine side. But the foot has got all the reflexes for the whole entire body, doesn't it? And your feet represent, if you want to break it into the file folders, they represent understanding, obviously, your legs and your feet, right? But the feet are understanding, like really under the capital U part. And so I had the ball of my right foot was really pulsing and hurting. So here's what I did is I went into it. I went like a little imp. I sat in it, and I could feel immediately a reflective energy to the liver and to the gallbladder and to the bladder, and some in the belly around the navel. Now here, when you do this sort of thing, you don't think about it. You don't go, oh, I wonder if that's right, doodly-doo. No, just follow it, okay? Just follow it, because you know what? It's been my experience that I might have that particular pattern, but you might have a different pattern. You might find it works with the vertebrae at the waist and the in between your shoulder blades and all that. You know, we don't have to think about it. We don't have to break it down intellectually. We can, but I would do that after if I were you. So I walked through my body with myself, and that's where I found it, okay? And that's really interesting to me because it would take me time to really explain it, and I don't want to spend the whole time on me. But actually, what happened, one of my toes was talking to me too on the same foot, the right foot. So as I did that, and even as I do it now, my stomach started to gurgle, and I started to get really hungry, and my liver... See, it's making me yawn. My liver started to move like mad, and then... And my gallbladder was pulsing, and now everything's moving differently and all right up into the chest area. It's all moving subtly right up into the chest area and right up through the throat, and I'm salivating like mad. And now I think my foot's fine, right? But what we've done is we've taken a denser fields and frequency with our sight, right? With being able to look at it and experience it and give it attention and give it focus, what happens? It moves it. It breaks up that huge tension that's in there. So let's do some more of them. I'm thinking of a number of you, okay? Let's see here. We have a number of people that have vision problems, okay? Now, I want you to drop inside and take a look, you know, as if you're a little imp inside of yourself, right? You know how you've got that part of you? I often say, you know, we could make yourself small, make yourself like an imp and sit down at the perineum with your legs swinging over. I like to say that because there is an impish nature to the inner part of you. So now let's talk about people that have visions. What's the first thing that comes up to you? Now, I don't mean people that have mystical visions. I'm talking about people that have vision issues. Okay? One of the things that a lot of times vision issues come up as a result of things like low blood sugar or blood sugar fluctuations or fragilities and blood sugar. Okay? That's one level. So we're going into your eyes to see what's going on there. Yeah. And there are a lot of things you can do. Like if people have dry eyes or they have itchy eyes. Okay, so the guys are saying this. What you want to do is rub your hands together, palms together. And then you pull your hands apart bit by bit. Just pull them apart bit by bit. And we've played this game off and on through the years, right? And as you pull them apart bit by bit, you stretch the warm light between your hands until it gets brighter and brighter. And then you place the palms of your hands right on your eyes. Yeah, well, you don't put them right onto your eyeball, right? You kind of make a space between the hands and the eyes, but you keep your hands held there. And you can feel that energy that you just promoted from hand to hand, literally going into the top of the eyes where it was kind of burning. At least several of you had some burning eyes. Somebody's got some watery eyes as well. This will help with that as well. Okay. Because what they're doing is saying that there's an imbalance. Wow, somebody else, when you've got your hands up there, which other parts of your body are talking to you? Somebody's got a solar plexus that really almost hurts while you put these hands, the palms, over your eyes. I wish you guys would call in because it's much more interesting if I get a bit of feedback. Okay, Nadia, good for you. Hi.
Hi, it's me again.
Hi, you again.
Well, the house didn't sell, and we're still here, but I had a bit of an epiphany today. And the eye thing is true. I've had itchy eyes and had trouble seeing, and probably in my life I've had trouble seeing ahead as well.
I want to ask you one question before we go farther onto the house. Is your stomach weird right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I want people at home to see that there is a link, not just with you, but with a number of people who are doing this game with us right now, that there's quite a link between the eyes and blood sugar and the solar plexus or the actual stomach and the spleen, apparently. Depending on who you are, it's a little different for everybody. Okay, you get to talk now. And what we're doing is we're assessing where the links are. We're not trying to be really intellectual about it, just to the feeling level, okay? Because we can move it by feeling it. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay. Nadia.
Yeah, so I've been feeling so sad, you know, at the thought of leaving the house. And then when it seemed to have been sold last week or so, and the deal fell through, it was like a, you said, a relief for the owner and for me too, kind of a respite from all of the scurrying.
Yeah, reprieve. Yeah, sure.
A reprieve. That was it. So I think we had 2 days of reprieve.
Oh, my.
And then she decided to keep the listing on till October 1st. It was going to be August, but no, October 1st. So we've had several viewings. Almost every day, so there's always the scrambling, cleaning, vacating, sense of ground moving under my feet I'm trying to get comfortable with, and I've certainly had lots of time to get used to the idea of uncertainty. So the wisdom of uncertainty, just know that life is just like that, but how to be at peace with it, that's the biggest challenge. Whew. For me.
Well, you know, it's interesting. So, I started to say, have you checked out the astrological stuff right now, because it's really zany. And, you know, literally, I kind of all of a sudden start shaking, and I know it's just what's going on out there. And stuff I read said is things are going to move very, very fast, or they're not. Some stuff's going to fall apart really fast. Some stuff's going to come together really fast. But it's a very disquieted speed that's going on. That's probably why your friend who is 20 minutes into being widowed is not sure what to do, and she's making a commitment in a direction that might seem like it's a bit exhausting, but it's like there's too much going on inside of her for her to make a different direction, you know, a different focus. And yeah, it's hard, but you can do it. You can do it. This won't go on and on. I think she might even pull it off before 1st of October. I don't know.
I don't know. I think, you know, the momentum, too, of thinking of moving to a place that's less expensive, that has less of an upkeep, maybe that momentum is just hard to just unplug from and just be here. So, but here I've been feeling sad and sad and sad. And today I went out into the garden after finally, I cut back some blackberries and picked some blackberries and climbed the ladder. And I thought, I've been doing this all wrong. I've been focusing, you know, I tell people, focus on what you want, not what you don't want. And all this time I've been focusing on, oh, I'm going to have to move, poor me, sad, love this place. So on. And I said, oh, it's all wrong. I need to just be grateful for each day I'm here. Pick the fruit, literally cut back the thorns and brambles, literally in my thinking and in reality. Just enjoy each day and go, well, I don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly. But also, you know you'll be taken care of. Somehow you know you'll be taken care of. You've got a deep sense of faith on that level.
Yeah, sometimes that gets shaky. You are absolutely right about having my work be my rudder and not, you know, where I'm staying or the longing for a new romance or anything. Let my work be. So I've been, you know, I've got this new computer and I go into the Apple store and all these young kids are teaching me how to use it, which is really refreshing. So I'm putting out this little poster about a talk I'm going to do at the vitamin store. And you know, it seems like when it comes to the part where I have to describe who I am and what I'm offering, I go, oh, I don't know, I'm nobody. and this young girl said to me, well, you know, it might help if you say, talk about what you're passionate about. And even in that moment, I couldn't quite get there, but today I did.
Okay.
But I thanked her. I said, how did one so young get to be so wise? And because she's, you know, my daughter's age. And so I think what I got today, because I've been asking, you know, what will it take to get me unstuck and out there again? What will it take for me to be at peace and remember who I am and offer something that makes a qualitative difference so that at this stage in my life, I'm not just so obsessed about where I'm living, but who I need to be. I listened to your program on Tuesday about conscious aging. It was wonderful. I took notes like mad.
Oh, good. That's great.
Really good. Really excellent. So today I came up with, you know, I think I know who I am. I just keep forgetting. What's my passion? Sharing what I've learned that's helped me relieve my own suffering. That's truly what it is. And what
but,
I've
but wait, another way to say that is your growth. You've grown and grown and learned and grown and shared.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, thank you. But what I'm realizing is that, you know, all this attitudinal healing stuff, it's like change your mind, change your life, has made me realize, and a whole bunch of other things, that, you know, that our thoughts and feelings, whatever we think and how we feel, are as important to our health, and I'm going to be doing this at a little health center, is that are as important to our health and happiness as our diet, exercise, relationships. It's in fact what we think and how we feel affects all those other aspects of our lives. And people just say, oh, those are just words. So that's just, you're just, but no, that's really, I think, at the heart of the matter.
I think what's really exciting about what you're saying is that you can see it in people when they do that. You heard the section where we were talking about the seeds and telling yourself you're getting younger. I mean, that stuff works. It's really amazing.
Yeah. So I thank you for that. And, you know, I think what I'm going to use for the tagline on it is some words that you shared with me some time ago, which is move into the heart from the tension of experience.
Oh, good. That's very good.
I'm going to use that. You gave that to me. It feels right. It feels like the time's right, too. Although I don't quite know when I'm going to do it, although I have, you know, I've used all the astrological things. It's my time. The 15th is the new moon. 15th, and I talked to the owner of the store on that day, sent her an email, and trying not to miss the opportunity this time, because that's, you know, I tend to hang back and miss the moment, but I guess there will be more moments.
No, I think you're going to do well. And I'm going to say goodbye just so we can get a little bit more work done here, but I like your report. Keep going, girl. You're doing a great job.
So it'll sell or not sell, who knows?
Yeah, I'm not going to worry about that, because you're just going to get going on your own thing, and that's the most important thing right now, and you will not be without
it.
Yeah, you won't be without a home, I know that. And I do think
Thank
there's a move so faster than you think, but it's not as fast as we thought a while ago, so there you have it.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you, Ronnie. Big hugs to you, Natty.
Keep doing what you do. I love the paradigm shifters you interview too. You're so good at it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thanks for listening. Well, that was a good call, and that's Nadia. And I just want to say, I want to remind you that it doesn't matter how you work it out, because there's Nadia talking about her dharma. And she goes through all these different dramas, and just like you do, and just like I do, and just like great famous saints do as well. And it's what you do with them inside. And what I'm trying to talk to you about tonight is... and in the aging process, for example, I'll use bladder, but we don't all go around talking about our bladder. But I've heard some really interesting stories about the bladder recently. And one is where some people have their inner, like for women, have their inner organs moved a little bit so that it will shift how the bladder's handling aging, if you will. And in that shifting, it very often has a huge impact on the heart chakra. What do you think of that? And those kinds of things are just fascinating. So if you have a bladder problem, for example, and you drop in, and everybody does sometimes, right? And you drop into your bladder, and what's the old line? You say, oh, it's bladder. Oh, I must be pissed off, right? Well, the reality is, forgive my language, but I think we get by with that one. And the reality is, it's one of the file folders where we put in anger, or we put in a slow, steady, sharp anger, right? And it'll be there for quite a while. And it might leak out later, you know what I mean? So, but if you go into these places, whichever part of your body is feeling the disquiet, and you allow yourself to sit in there in your mind, like the little imp that goes inside and sits in there, and you allow yourself to, you're going to feel, see, and know a lot of the feelings that you've stuffed into that part of your body. And boy, is it ever amazing how you can literally change what has been a physical disability or a physical, wearing out kind of process. It doesn't have to be worn out. And I know a number of people who have done this kind of thing. And remember the fellow, you remember Lynn McTaggart has the intention experiment, and it's online, and a number of people will sign on, and then they keep track of a certain intention and what effect it has. And there are three different labs. I don't know if it's still going, but in any case, there are three different labs, different parts of the world, where they chronicle the reactions. People phone in and say what the reactions were. And I always loved the story she told about when she first started this. There was a fellow who was in his, I think, early 60s or late 50s, and he had spondylosis, which is that really difficult disease that where they get bone spurs and all kinds of growth between the vertebrae in the spine. And I guess it's excruciating. And this fellow, they'd given up on him. All the major doctors that he went to and the specialists and so on had given up on him. So he called Lynn McTaggart and he said, can you put me on the intention experiment? And within 2 weeks, that guy was walking and he was stretched out, which he couldn't do before. And it's just the way we focus, like Nadia was talking about, it's how we think. And that's absolutely true. But if you want to be, for example, if you want to be a contributor, and this is part of the dharma of our times, I think, you know, if you want to, you know, we all look at each other, don't we? And, you know, little kids say this old line, don't look at me, right? And they know something. If you want to be a contributor, you want to turn and look at someone and see them as well. See them as young. See them as wealthy. See them as healthy. See them. So somebody's ill and you go, my God, you guys are really suffering. I feel so bad for you, which is our way of being compassionate in a way. But actually, energetically speaking, think about the guy with the spondylosis. When I intend that you're going to feel well and I intend that you're going to feel my intention for you and the divine intentions that I cultivate with my own mental attitudes and so on. Boy, it's how we look at each other makes a huge difference. You know, there's an old cliche that said, if looks could kill. I'm going, yeah, it's kind of true in a way they can. If every time I look at you, I knew somebody once, every time he took my picture, I looked awful. And I really felt like, wow, there's something inside of him about how I look, isn't there? You know, because I was really responding well to him. That's how we affect one another. And part of the dharma of our species is learning to create our reality, isn't it? Isn't that a part of these times that we're in? And you want to create a reality that's a win-win for everyone, don't you? Anyway, this is Veronica Entwistle, and what we're going to talk about and I really love to think about I'm saying two or three things at once. That's because I get excited. But I'm thinking about aging, and I'm thinking about the talent that you and I have innately, probably, to shift the way we've been filing old feelings in our body, mind, and creating aches and pains for ourselves. We have been sacrificing our ability to transform, haven't we? And we don't have to do that. And especially when you think about things like aging, you don't want to make assumptions that I have to be all limping and hobbling and I can't bend over because I'm getting old. We want to look at each other a whole lot differently. And if for some reason we do get the bent over kind of thing or the debilitating physical, because that can happen as well, inside there's a tremendous resilience on how we can love ourselves, on how we can love one another, and how we can radiate and express our wisdom in the world. And then up-and-coming paradigm shifters is kind of fun. It's about conscious commerce. That means the kind of commerce that is not dog-eat-dog sort of thing, but there's a whole move going on the planet. And we watch the corruption on on money and finances and wars and all that sort of stuff, food, all of that. There are huge numbers of people that are working on becoming more and more conscious about gifting, about sharing money, about sharing wealth, about sharing resources. There's a huge amount of that going, and it doesn't sort of sit up on Fox News so much. But we've got some people coming up on Paradigm Shifters, two people, in fact. One of them is Mark Singer, I think it is, Singer or Springer. And he's working in Soka University, and he's teaching. He works with a nonprofit where they're bringing kids that are really struggling and in the lower kind of socioeconomic realms that wouldn't have much chance. And they're bringing them up, and they're moving them through colleges. And not just doing that, but they're teaching them. They've got a whole concession system games, you know, sports games and so on. So these kids are actually making money. They support one another. There's a huge, huge support network. Okay, huge supportive network. Anyway, that's the end of my thing. I'm being called off stage. I've taken enough time. This is Veronica Entwistle. I want you to phone me or email me, veronicaentwistle.com, if you have feedback about these shows, if you'd like a session with me, if you can recommend guests or responses to guests for Paradigm Shifters. And I want to say thank you so much. Look after your body. Pay attention to whatever it tells you. We're going to keep talking over the next few weeks about releasing all that clutters it. Much love to you all, and good night.